If you have become stuck in one of the relative pitch lessons, David Lucas says you're on your own.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just kidding. If you have become stuck in one of the relative pitch lessons, David Lucas will now help you get unstuck with these PowerPoints on relative pitch ear training.
All right, now what seems to be the difficulty? We're going to examine a number of possible difficulties which we could encounter on this course, and we're going to find the solutions to all of them. Many of us are at the beginning of the course, and some of us are in the middle, and some of us are towards the end of the course. Wherever we are, playing a particular drill so many times, and we just can't seem to pass that one particular drill, we seem to even get worse on it sometimes. How many of you have had this kind of an experience? I've had some people tell me that maybe I'm too unintelligent for this course. Maybe I'm just too behind. My ear is just too backward. I'm just not ready for this course. No, this isn't the case at all. The thing is, this is a normal reaction for the ear to not be able to get into these sounds at first, and we may take many times on some of these drills in order to pass them. This is all completely normal. So let's right now just very easily look at some of the possible problems that we might encounter on this course and how we can solve them. We're setting ourselves to a very great task here, developing our ear, and we want to make sure that we're doing it in the most effective way. We want to use these tapes effectively. We don't want to fight with them. Frustration means that we're fighting with our ear. We're fighting, and that's why we feel frustrated. What we have to do is understand the attitude and the psychology of ear training, and then we'll find that these frustrations just evaporate. Now, what happens is this. The ear must grow at its own rate. We cannot force the ear. We all have these desires that we want to hurry up and achieve this relative pitch. We want to develop our ear. We don't appreciate sometimes having to go at our ear's pace. And so this is what causes the frustration. Our desire is to achieve the goal, but our ear will only go at a certain pace. So sometimes when we're listening to some of these lightning rounds, we simply say, I can't hear it. Something even so simple like one of those beginning lightning rounds, like the perfect fifths and fourths. We just might not be able to get in there and hear what is what. Now we don't fight it. We don't worry. We don't say, oh, I'm stupid. I can't do this. No, it's normal. We expect that the ear is going to rebel. Some days the ear just says, nope, I won't listen. This is perfectly natural. What we do is we cooperate with our ear. We cooperate with what the ear is going through. The ear is like a child. And we're disciplining our ear. We're teaching it how to listen. So if we find that it just simply won't hear, then we just take it easy. We listen to the drill, and if it's too much of a strain to even try to guess at what the answer is, we don't try. We just listen to the drill without even saying the answer. We don't want to make our drills into a guessing game. Just listen once, twice, three times. Don't even try to answer. Let the ear sink into that sound. This is ear training. The ear is a very refined instrument. We want it to gain greater sensitivity. We don't want to bruise our ear by fighting with it and forcing it in there and getting impatient. Patience is the key. Every drill that we feel needs a little bit of time, we just take that time. We say, here I am, it's just me and this one drill. We don't worry about any other drills in the past or any other drills in the future. We're just here on this one lesson with this one drill. Just let this sound sink into the ear. And then, if that's all we do that day, that's fine. Next day, if we come again, we listen again. The key is listening. See, remember, what you're doing on this course is incredible. You are learning something which music majors take maybe 2 years to learn. These intervals, these are the capsules of musical sounds, the smallest units of music. And we are learning to identify these musical capsules, and then we're going to hear them in the chords, and we're going to hear them in all of the music. It's a very, very vital skill. And we're taking this 2 years of musical experience, and we're reducing it to one course, which teaches us fully established relative pitch. Now, I want to tell you something. On this course, you are learning more thoroughly this relative pitch than the average music major. If any of you have been music majors, or if you know any music major friends, many of them do not learn this speed recognition of the tones like you are learning on this course. They're thrown all these intervals into a grab bag, and they're expected to be able to identify them. And they do fairly well, and they get their A's, B's, and C's, and D's on their tests, but they never really learn the speed recognition. They don't fully assimilate it. You're learning very thoroughly. So we have to take a little bit more time, some of us. Some of us go faster. Others of us, those that are beginning to listen, they've just begun musical training, they're just starting to do ear training for the first time. It takes longer, but we don't ever worry how long it's taking, because if you have $100 in the bank, or if you find that you have $1,000 in the bank, or you find that you have $10,000 in the bank, and you want to make that into $1,000,000, you have to start from where you are. If you have the $100, you have to somehow turn that into the $1,000. If you have the $1,000, you have to somehow turn that into the $10,000, etc. We can only start where we are. So you never feel a push to keep up with the Joneses. Your ear is your own best friend, and you just cooperate. We treat the ear like a garden. We prune it. We replant things. We dig around in a certain area. We reprune. We sculpt it. If weeds creep in, then we just take that one weed out. The whole thing will go wild if we leave it alone. We have to culture. We have to do something there. In the beginning days, we don't hear these sounds even when they're played slowly. But what we do is we take these grand round ear training techniques and we learn them slowly. And then we go into these lightning rounds. Now, I know many of you are saying, boy, I wish we could just slow these lightning rounds down, then I could get it. But see, it's not that the lightning rounds are going too fast. You already know the intervals because you passed your tests. You passed your spelling tests and your sound tests on these intervals. So you already know them slowly. Now the key is to hear them quickly, and we don't need to slow down these lightning rounds. What we need to do is just listen to the lightning rounds. Even if you start to memorize the order of the answers, don't worry. Remember, the attitude we're culturing here is, whatever happens, fine. We just do the course innocently. If we find it's too much of a strain to answer, we don't try to answer the questions. We don't practice much in a day. See, we just practice the short time which is recommended for whatever lesson we're on. Just a short time a day, and whatever growth occurs in that time is fine. We don't try to make it more than what it is. And then we learn to identify these tones at lightning speed. This is the speed recognition which we're going for. Now, some intervals may seem easier. Other intervals are harder. This is also natural. And on the exams, on some of the later exams later on in the course, you may find that they seem to be particularly difficult. The reason is because on the exams, I'm just trying to show you the kinds of feats which your ear will become capable of. We don't expect you to get 100% accuracy on all your exams. We set the goals very high on this course, and we don't expect you to get everything right, but if you get even a portion of it right, you're already going higher than many other people on other kinds of courses. You're learning thoroughly. And if you find that you have forgotten the lessons from previous tapes, you find that you had passed those tests very well, but then you say, oh, but now I've forgotten all the spellings, or I've forgotten those sounds, then we cooperate with the ear. We just go back to those tapes and review them. See, we just take it easy. We just go at our own rate. Now, the spellings are another thing that can present a problem with some of us. We learn all the spellings of one interval, maybe our major thirds. And then by the time we get down to minor sixths, we've forgotten the spellings. Now, it's important to always keep these spellings fresh. They are our musical times tables. We have to know 8 times 8 is 64, 7 times 7 is 49, 5 times 6 is 30. If you ever find that you don't know one of those times tables, you've got to know it. You have to go back and refresh that in your mind, because you're always going to need to know that 4 times 4 is 16. Now, it's the same way in music. If you forget that from C sharp to E sharp is the proper spelling of a major third, then we have to go back and refresh that in our memory. What you can do is just go back and redo that spelling test. It won't take you as long to relearn it. It might have taken a while to learn it the first time, but when you go back and learn it the second time because you feel you've forgotten it, it won't take as long. It's very important that these spellings are permanently at your fingertips. Whenever you want to know any spelling, a minor sixth up from F sharp is D. It should be right there at your fingertips. Whenever we find an area of weakness, we go back and we spruce that area up, and we never feel rushed, like we have to go on to the next tape immediately. We don't mind. We just take it easy and enjoy. Relative pitch ear training means that we're producing an entire catalog of sounds in our ear. And this means that we have in our mind's ear all the possible capsules of music. We have the major third, minor third, perfect fifth, perfect fourth, all those capsules, all those intervals, and then all the chords they make. Major seventh chord, dominant seventh chord. All the different sounds are cataloged in our ear. But we have to know the spellings in order to be able to read this catalog properly. It's very, very important. You want to have these things at your fingertips. And it may seem to be a burdensome chore at first when you're learning from scratch all these spellings. But it will be worth it. Whenever we find a weakness anywhere, we want to go back and correct it quickly, because we want to be able to read our catalog of sounds very clearly. Then we can use these sounds when we're improvising or playing by ear or performing. When we're listening to music, we can understand what we're hearing. It's very important to catalog these things securely. Every bit of time that we're spending with our ear is credit in our catalog of sounds. Every minute that you spend on your ear training is 1 minute of credit which you have racked up in your ear. You can never lose that credit, because when you take a raw ear, nothing's been done to it, it's a child, then it doesn't hear anything. Everything's blurred. It hears the music, but it doesn't really understand what's going on in there. When you have chords, it hears the beautiful sounds, but it doesn't know major ninth, major ninth, and major ninth. It has to be able to catalog and quickly decode those sounds while it's listening. This takes time. This takes culturing. And whatever time it takes, we don't mind. When we've put in an hour's worth of work, after so many weeks, when we've put in 24 hours of work on our ear, 36 hours as the weeks go by, etc. This is all credit which we have racked up in our ear, and the ear is blossoming bit by bit by bit. Now, if we're listening to music and we try to pick out a minor sixth or a perfect fifth or something like that, we don't strain trying to do this. This is a common thing with the perfect pitch course as well. Somebody will learn what an A-flat sounds like, and then they'll go out and try to hear all the A-flats in the music. Well, the ear is not quite competent to judge these things that clearly yet, because you're just learning it. So don't try to grow up too quickly with our ear. We let the ear grow up at its own pace, and then naturally, these sounds start to stick out while we're listening to the music. If some of you are playing by ear, and you've never had relative pitch training, well, you're playing by ear using some relative pitch, something that you have just picked up on your own. It's not possible to play by ear or improvise or do much in music without some sense of relative pitch. And even if we're just performing, we're just a classical musician maybe, and we don't have to play by ear or anything, we're just playing what the music says, we've got to have a sense of relationship in music in order to understand its progression. This relative pitch is so vital. We want to advance our ear so we can progress even more. We want to tune it up from scratch. This is important for the advanced musicians. And relative pitch is important for the beginning musicians because that's the ideal time to culture the ear. When we first are starting music lessons, we want at the same time to do something with our ear. We are never too beginner to start this course. Music is refined. We can't force this. If we want to use effort, then we should go lift weights or something like that that requires a lot of effort. This is learning to be effortless. And so that's why these instructions I keep trying to emphasize. For instance, when you find that a drill is too difficult and you can't answer the questions, then we don't use effort. We don't try to answer the questions. We let the ear listen a while. And then later on, we then do it again. We could even take a day or two of vacation if the ear gets into a slump. Don't mind that your ear takes a little time. Let your ear go and it'll surprise you. Maybe you'll come back and find all of a sudden, for no reason at all, you can hear everything. I hear this more and more from musicians that their ear was just at a standstill. And all of a sudden, one day, it just heard everything and they passed their test just like that. Whatever happens with you is what you need. See, this is your course. You're dealing with your ear. Be gentle with it. If you feel that you want outside help, maybe you feel that the drill is too tricky, you need a little outside help, don't be afraid to ask. You can even sit down and do it yourself. If you're having difficulty hearing the harmonic intervals, this is a thing that everybody says they have the most difficulty with, is the harmonic ones, because they're played together. And this is a little bit more tricky than hearing them separately. Definitely, this is the way it is. Sit down at a piano and play the harmonic intervals and sort of get that in your ear. You can work as much as you'd like by yourself this way and then go back to your tape. See, we just take it easy like that. We want to practice when we're fresh, too. This is another important point. The ear can only hear when it feels relaxed and also when it's fresh and alert. We want to sit up. We don't want to do ear training while we're laying down. That's very important because the mind is not in the frame to listen while you're laying down with headphones and all. No, sit up and let the mind be clear, relaxed, and do it when you're fresh. If you can do it in the morning, that's great. But don't work all day and feel totally tired and then sit down and try to do ear training. At least take a little break and relax a little while before you do your ear training, because how is your ear going to hear? See, all these little practical things, they're so important, but the main thing is to just take it easy. We want to go for this goal. We don't want to have any quitters. No quitters, because the goal is too important. Anybody that quits, it's a shame, because the people who quit are the ones that need this the most, because they're the ones that have tasted all these capsules, the taste of a perfect fourth, the taste of a major sixth, all these different musical tastes, these different sounds. They've tasted the beginning of it, but they've never seen the full fruit of the whole thing. So it's important. We don't want to be a quitter. We want to go for it. This is an important musical goal, and when you achieve it, you will really feel like you own something which you cannot possibly buy. This is something which I have emphasized in the perfect pitch course. You can't buy perfect pitch. You can't buy relative pitch. You can get tapes, sure, and you can learn the knowledge, but that's not getting perfect pitch and that's not getting relative pitch. Only you can develop your own ear. No one else can do it for you. So we don't want any quitters. Let's all be achievers. You can do it. I don't care how old you are, whether you're 50 or 60. I don't care how young you are, whether you're 14 years old. It doesn't make any difference if you just started. You say, I have a tin ear. Tin ear is very rare. This is just mostly a myth. You can do it. It just needs to be opened up. Your ear needs to be opened. Tin ear, don't let anybody tell you you have a tin ear. That's just negative thinking. And that this doesn't help ear training. You go with a positive attitude, and whatever happens, happens. And each day, a new leaf unfolds. Gradually, gradually. And then you start to see the flower. But it's not unfolded yet either. Then one petal, another petal, until finally the whole thing's there. There's only 41 lessons, and if it takes 4 times as long as you thought to do each lesson, so what? In the end, we have achieved even more than we ever thought we were going to achieve on the course. Because we didn't have any idea the magnitude of this relative pitch training when we started. We might have thought, oh, I can just whip it right off. And if it takes a little longer, we realize that this is a bigger thing than we thought. And for that very reason, we are going to feel great when we have achieved it. You can do it. So let your ear sink in and enjoy the tapes. And whenever you have a difficulty in the future, just come back to this tape and listen to it again. Whenever you feel you lose that sense of ease, which you need to have, then come back and just review these fundamentals which we have been discussing on this tape. Now go back to that drill or that test or whatever was giving you difficulty right now and take it easily. And if you don't get through it, do it the next day and enjoy it. You can do it. Go master that drill that you were having difficulty with.
If you require additional support, please call or email the support staff at American Education.